So I couldn't decide on the title for this speech. So I think maybe it's Christmas is not the only time for gifts or miracles. I couldn't decide whether it was miracles or gifts, and maybe it's both. How many of you waited this year for Christmas for a long time? I see. I know we have some of the young people with hands up. We also got some of the older people with their hands up. As a kid, I would too. It would be interminable. Matter of fact, the day after Christmas was kind of a depressing day for me, thinking, how am I possibly going to get by with it? But my family, we grew up exchanging gifts at Christmas. It was also very predictable. Every year we would celebrate Christmas with family, going to church, exchanging presents, and sharing delightful food treats of all kinds. But that waiting just took such a long time. Now, sometimes we have a different type of waiting. We're not waiting for someone else to do something. We're waiting for us to do something. I'm going to tell a little story. When I had to wait for something, I was at the Air Force Academy, and we were undertaking something called SERE training. Do we have anybody actually who did SERE training? It's survival, escape, resistance, evasion training. It's pretty serious stuff, and we were kind of nervous about it the day before. It was a Sunday, and I had actually gone to eat, had our last meal. We knew we weren't going to get to eat for it very much, and I brought a plain peanut butter and white bread sandwich back to my room, but I was kind of too nervous. I didn't eat it, so I kind of wrapped it in a Kleenex and threw it away. That's called foreshadowing, by the way. We'll have to do some other foreshadowing. So we go through this training, and it was tough. It was a simulate being in a prisoner of war camp, and they lock you in a box, and they do other things, and then we have to hike, and we don't have any food. We ended up having maybe, in the next 6 days, maybe, if we stretch it out, 1 day's worth of food. So we finished the training on a Saturday, and they feed us, you know, we're all done and we're successful, and so they feed us a steak dinner with big potatoes and rolls and beans, and you eat it, and you can't eat that much because your stomach after a week is actually shrunk. But we had that, and then I came back to my room a couple hours later, no more than 2 hours later, and I looked at that stale old peanut butter sandwich, and I gobbled it right up. A week long, because I've been waiting to eat for a long time, and I just couldn't get enough of that. Why don't you turn towards a neighbor and share a time that you waited a long time for something you finally got, okay? Take a minute to do that. This little bell has power, doesn't it? I need one of these for my workplace. So, sounds like people had that experience of sharing a time you waited and then you finally got it. Now, how many have waited for something that you didn't get? You end up not getting something that you wanted. Yeah. So, not every kind of waiting results in getting what you want. I always wanted a pony for Christmas, despite the fact I live in the suburbs and there was no room for a pony, but I thought it was possible, but it never happened. So I'm going to tell you a story now about a little boy, maybe not too little, 12-year-old boy, and his wait. And before I start, I know that, I'm going to tell you that this eventually has a happy ending, okay? Now that's something we also call foreshadowing. Not foreshadowing that has a happy ending. I told you that has a happy ending. What am I foreshadowing? Yeah, there might be a bad part to this, too. So you just got to hold on to this. So the story began with this boy and his family going on a family vacation. How many of you have been on family vacations? Yeah. So this was a vacation. Actually, it was going on just before Christmas. And this family lived in Europe because this boy's dad was in the military and was stationed in Paris, actually, and they were going skiing for the second time. How many of you have been skiing? Okay, wow, a lot of people have been skiing. So they actually had an American inn in Germany, Garmisch, Germany. Has anybody been to Garmisch, Germany? Oh, wow, we have a whole middle of the group here, Garmisch, Germany. And is Garmisch, Germany beautiful? It is, I've seen, yes, the nodding of the heads. It's a beautiful place with the old German-type inns, and they had lots of music, and they had these gorgeous mountains, and it was full of snow and everything. So on the way, to before they got there, actually, this little boy chirped up and said that, maybe I'll break my leg. Now, that's what I call foreshadowing, right? His mother said, don't say that. Well, what do you think happened? He broke his leg while skiing. Has anybody broken their leg while skiing? No, good. That's a good thing. Well, it was a bad break. It was not good. Went to the Garmisch clinic and then said, you're going to have to go to the hospital. And there was an American hospital for American soldiers and dependents in Munich, Germany. They took this little boy to the hospital in Munich, Germany, a few days before Christmas, and then the family had to leave. So they took him there, an ambulance took him there, and then the family had to leave because they had to go home, right? They couldn't just stay in Germany. So it was a couple days before Christmas. He was all alone. He couldn't move. His leg hurt. He could hardly sleep. He couldn't walk. And there was nothing to do then. There were no cell phones. There were televisions, but there was no television in that room. There was no radio. There was nothing to do but sit. Except one evening, he was just sitting there, kind of miserable, and then heard this very faint noise at first. And then it got louder and louder, and he recognized it was Christmas music, probably some sort of Christmas carols. So he pushed the button, because you could call the orderly, push the button. And he asked, what is this music? And they said, oh, it's the Vienna Boys Choir. So the Vienna Boys Choir were actually just here in Charlottesville less than 2 weeks ago. Did anybody go to the concert, Vienna Boys Choir? One person went to that concert. Well, this little boy knew them because they had a movie about them that he'd just seen that year called Almost Angels. And he thought, oh my gosh, this famous choir is coming here. And he was trying to think of how he could go because he couldn't move, but they said, oh, they're coming here. So they're going to come down the hall. So he got so excited about that. And he heard the music coming closer and closer. And then he heard the music going farther and farther away. That was a sad time for this little boy. They never did come by his room. And he ended up having a pretty hard time. He had to go to a hospital in Paris. And then he had to go to another hospital in Orléans, and they had to re-break his leg. He ended up in the hospital for 5 weeks. He didn't have Christmas with his family. This is a sad story, right? So, but this little boy got over it, and his leg got better, and he grew up. He had children of his own. And then one Christmas time, for some reason, he decided to tell this story to his kids. Now, he started to tell this story, and then they got sad, and they started to groan. Now, do you think that made him not want to tell that story? No, that made him want to tell that story, and made him want to tell that story the next year, too, just so he could start to hear that groaning that they did. Anyway, he didn't always get through that story about that sad little boy. But one of his kids was a daughter, and she grew up, and she went to college. She actually went to William & Mary, which is not that far away, right? And their first semester there, just her first weeks there, her father's birthday was going to be coming up in October. And right before his birthday, he got a note from her, an email from her, and he had a poster and had a flyer. And it was, yes, it was for the Vienna Boys Choir, but it said, if you miss them once, don't miss them again. That was the advertisement that they had, that they actually sent out. It wasn't the daughter that did that. So, now in case anyone hasn't guessed this yet, that little 12-year-old boy was me. And that was my daughter, Lenore. Most of us in the church know as Noni, who found the flyer for the Vienna Boys Choir that warned us not to miss them again. So, she said, I'm giving you tickets for your birthday. I drove up to Williamsburg. We enjoyed a spectacular show. They did things, they danced and they sang, and they had a wonderful time. And we said, okay, I can't tell that story the same way anymore from that. So for the last 10 years, I've thought of that flyer and that concert as kind of a miraculous Christmas story with a happy ending that took nearly four decades to happen. And I do think it is in part that. It is a great story. But it was in thinking about this sermon that I realized I was really missing the real gift and what is the real miracle, the miracle that truly graced my life. Certainly a miracle that's more precious to me than any concert could be. For it was Noni's response to this story that really mattered, the miracle of giving love and caring and generosity. The miracle that someone cares that much, that she would undertake to make right a harm that happened two decades before she was born. The miracle of love that delighted in sharing that flyer, in buying us the tickets, and in reveling in our shared appreciation of that beautiful music. And the miracle of a sad story turned beautiful. So I close by asking us all, as we prepare to begin a new year with our families, our workplaces, and our church, not only to ask you what gifts and miracles have you been waiting for, but what gifts and miracles are you able to bring to others, to members of your family, to your friends and acquaintances, to this church? Let us sit in silence for a moment.